Welcome to the Local Spotlight Show here in WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. Well, back for the second episode with Stace Holland here at the Spotlight Show. We got a lot in yesterday, but we're going to finish her up today. Hopefully we can get it all in with visiting with Stace. Stace, we left off. Of course, those who are just tuning in maybe didn't hear yesterday's. You come from Oklahoma and Texas and got a kind of a Western cowboy background and got a ranch in Missouri and been to plenty of schooling and a lot of different things in your life. Bull rider, rodeo guy, did a lot of different things in your bucket list. And now we've come to you coming to Boyd Health Center, and you fell in love with it, or what? Yeah, I know you said in the last episode that you know you met people and you liked it. You liked the area.
I did. It started with meeting the leadership, and it was an interim leadership for Boyd. They had the interim CEO, I think, for over a year. Carl and I spent quite a bit of time with that senior management group before we even met the board. I don't know. If you've ever just met somebody for the first time and you feel that you had an immediate connection and your minds were in sync with each other, that's what I felt like when we were at the interview. It wasn't like an interview. It really came across as acquaintances sitting down at a table talking about what does the hospital need and how do we go about achieving it.
Now, have you ever experienced that before? Have you experienced it? Because you had a lot of different jobs, a lot of different interviews. Have you experienced it before?
No, not to you this haven't. Magnitude. No, it was so, I mean, we're taught when you interview to sit on the front of your chair and your feet flat on the floor and stay attentive. And I mean, I can remember thinking back, I'm leaned back in the chair and I'm rocking. I got my legs crossed. I mean, it was like having a conversation
campfire
after Sunday dinner. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So you felt really comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And then you made the decision in your mind in that interview, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, yes. We drove back home. It's about a 5-hour drive from here to Pineville, Missouri. And you have that apprehension. It's like, what if they call? I don't know. I mean, do we say yes? Do we say no? It's a long ways from the ranch. I mean, all those things are going through your mind. And at that point, I thought, oh, they probably won't call, you know, because I violated everything that we're taught for an interview. They probably won't call. And they did. So
they called and you said yes. And
I actually drove up and met with the board chairman a few days after that because I thought, well, surely he doesn't know me very well. Maybe we better meet again just to make sure he's sincere. And I found a place to rent in town. So that process moved pretty quick.
So evidently they liked what they heard from you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so what are some of your plans for Boyd Health Center to bring it back and make it better?
Well, the first thing is realizing what a rural hospital is and what it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then strengthening and educating and building the relationship with the community on what we are.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like that philosophy.
Yes.
That's true in almost a lot of things, in both an individual, like what you are and what you are not.
Right. Right. What's your niche?
Yeah.
What can we provide and do it very well?
Yes, that's great.
So earlier, I think in the last episode, we talked about what are those resources that you have? You come in and evaluate the resources that are already at the hospital. And immediately I recognized our therapy department is very strong.
Okay.
I recognized the love to take care of people from our nurses was very strong.
And I ask you this, as many hospitals that you've been in, do you see that a lot where there's a lot of love for the people or not?
You know, yes, I think you do, but I felt like that it was a little stronger here.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize that it is definitely families taking care of families. I do.
You think that's why?
I do.
Yeah.
Yes.
And family taking care of friends, and
Absolutely.
Friends taking care of family.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I think so too.
And I see it and I realize it, and I know I'm not part of it. So I'm not sure how many years you have to be here before they consider you a local, but it 4 months isn't long enough.
No.
But I don't want to mislead. I've been welcomed very, very. Carla and I have been welcomed very well. So we.
I love our community mm-hmm. of the Tri-County, and I've come to realize since I started this Spotlight show,
yeah.
okay, and interviewing everybody that have come here, you know, from England and from all over the place, they just. You know, the community, they just is so great. You just haven't experienced this before, mm-hmm. you know. So it is special for sure. And I'm glad you're here.
Well, I think it's events that happen in our lives that helped figure out kind of what the plan is for Boyd. And I believe in the rural communities, what we have to be strong at is our emergency services. And emergency services are from the ambulance, the EMS service, to the ER, to the nurses that are working in the ER, to the physicians that are working in the ER. And when I looked at the population of Greene County and the areas that we serve, and I looked at the volume of patients coming to our ER, I really feel like that we need to listen to our community and transition our ER to serve our county and service areas maybe a little better. We have opportunities to develop trust where people will come to Boyd for that immediate emergency care, knowing that we can discern whether if you should be treated here or if you should be transferred to another hospital that has the services that you need.
So if someone is injured, which we're in a farming community,
mm-hmm.
is injuries, what else covers as far as emergencies go? What are you thinking?
You know, we're a stroke center of excellence, meaning that if you're having a stroke, we can get you in and have the CT and have it read by a radiologist in a certain period of time where we can start the medicine that stops that stroke and then transfer you somewhere else. So, you know, you always want people to go to your nearest community, and your community hospital,
yeah.
and get the stabilization you need, knowing that they will transfer you to the proper place eventually.
How important is time when you're in a stroke situation where you feel like, oh, you know what? I think I might be having a stroke. How important is time?
The most important. It's all about that first hour, that first 20 minutes, 45 minutes. Strokes can be reversed. The damage can be reversed if you get into the proper emergency service immediately.
Okay. What other areas, as far as emergencies go, that you can think about that you have strokes? Heart attacks. Okay.
Yes.
I mean, with a heart attack, you get a severe pain in your chest, and
yes.
you're thinking, is it a heart attack? Is it not a heart attack? Is it ingestion? What is it? So
get it checked out.
Right.
You know, just
right now.
Last week.
Yeah.
My cousin, California.
Yeah.
Wasn't feeling well. And he was at a hospital visiting his mom.
Yes.
And he wasn't feeling well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, unfortunately, he was a smoker, and we could have a whole show on smoking, okay? But
yes.
he went outside the hospital to smoke and had a heart attack and died.
Oh, my.
Okay. He was 60 years old.
I'll be darned.
But he'd been feeling bad, and he had had several of these symptoms and signs of, I'm not sure the proper word to use, but that of potential blockage. He should have gone and had it checked out,
mm-hmm.
and maybe that heart attack could have been prevented.
What I see in the smaller communities, you know, like ours, okay, it is so much wiser just to go close, immediate, but... because if you think about, okay, I got to go to Jacksonville or I've got to go to St. Louis, you know, mm-hmm. because I got to go there. Well, it's going to take a lot of time. And then you're treated like a number, you know,
right.
you're going to stand in line. You could be waiting in the waiting room.
Right.
You ever get, but that's not true with our local small hospitals. They're ready to take get after it right then, aren't they?
Absolutely, because we're taking care of our neighbors. We're taking care of people we go to church with. I mean, it is personal. When you come to the emergency room in a small facility, it's very personal. And the action that's taken and the speed of that to get you to the place that you need to be, to stabilize you when you come in, but get you to the proper place. And, you know, that also kind of leads into, you may have to go to Springfield or St. Louis for stroke care or cardiac care. But always know that you can come back home, too, for your follow-up care.
Ah.
You know, I mentioned therapy a while ago. Boyd has one of the best, we call it swing bed,
yeah.
But that's just a term that CMS put together, and it really means that
what is swing bed?
It's really inpatient rehab for a critical access hospital.
Okay. Inpatient rehab.
So if you were to receive some care, surgery, some other type of inpatient care away, know that you could come back to your local hospital and receive the therapy, the strengthening, the gait training, the balance and mobility that you need while staying at the hospital. And you know, you can stay
for a couple days, or what are
you
thinking?
You know, many see the need to stay 10, 12, 14 days. Medicare allows it up to 30. Actually, they'll allow it up to 100, but we try to work with individuals for safety. So
you want to keep an eye on
them. We can see
that
within 10 to 12 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So your philosophy is a little different than maybe a lot of big hospitals in the St. Louis area or bigger hospitals in bigger cities where they don't really want to, they just want to treat you and send you home. You guys aren't like that necessarily.
Not at all. And I think that's something unique that I have brought to Boyd is, and this happened because one time we had, and you know, I hate saying it because it sounds like a made-up story, but the little old lady, okay? So in this this case, the little old lady came to the emergency room with her suitcase.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, she did not meet admission criteria.
Okay? She did.
But she wanted to stay the night. And my old belief is when we connect with the community, why not let that person stay the night?
Okay? Yeah.
And send them home the next day in the daylight.
Why don't other hospitals do that? Why would they turn them away?
Well, because they don't have the capacity.
Okay.
Their beds are full. Their ER's full.
Okay.
And so that's what I love about rural communities is if you come to the ER, then you really believe that something is wrong with you. Something's mm-hmm. happening. And if we
and
see
you're scared.
You for 30... Yeah, absolutely.
You're scared. You don't know what's going to happen.
Absolutely.
You don't want to die today, you know?
And we're expecting a physician to make that determination in an hour.
Right.
What I'd like to do is make the determination of treatment plan within an hour
uh-huh.
and then let you spend the night under the observation of physician and nurses and let's reevaluate that the next day.
Take a good look at you.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Send you home in the security of the daytime. You know, sometimes we'll have, you know, here's another story, true life story.
Okay.
A person falls at home. They get up in the middle of the night to go probably to the bathroom.
Sure.
They fall and hit their head. And they came to the emergency room, and we did an evaluation and said, oh, you're fine to go home. Now, mm-hmm. they lived alone, and it's dark. And I think we lost compassion when we sent that person home by themselves in the dark. I really wish that person had been offered. Now, this didn't happen at Boyd.
Okay, that's what I was saying.
You know, if it did, we would talk about it. But we need to offer that person the ability to stay the night and then go home in the daytime where they can see very well. And let's remove any anxieties that a person might have.
Explain to the listeners why that makes sense for you at Boyd. Why you do it? Others might not, but you're going to do it.
Well, first of all, we have capacity.
Yeah.
So we have 20 beds, and our average daily census is 4 or 5.
Okay.
So we'll have at least 5 or 6 beds that a person could spend the night in, and we could pamper them. But really what it comes down to is love.
Yeah.
I mean, how do I want to treat my mama? When my mom comes in here and she's anxious and she might be nervous, why not remove that?
Exactly.
Why not love on her a little bit and make her feel that we've observed you for 12 hours and we know you are good to go home and safe to go home. And if you're not safe to go home, then we need to get physical therapy or occupational therapy. We need to get them involved.
So trust becomes a big word for you.
Oh,
you know?
Sure.
I mean, the family can trust in you. The patients can trust in you that you're going to make the right decisions for them.
Well, you know, it hurts me. It hurts my heart if we were to send somebody home and another accident happen.
Yeah, and I
don't want to live with that. No. I want to go the extra mile and make sure that we eliminate it if possible.
Well, I love the philosophy. That is great. Tell us about, we had talked a little bit about rehab. Any comments on rehab at Boyd?
Well, we do have a great group of therapists, from PT to physical therapy assistants, occupational therapy assistants. It is a really good program. And you know, and we talked about coming back for that rehab from other hospitals in the swing bed program, mm-hmm. and getting those top-notch therapists involved in the swing bed program is something I think Boyd has that nobody else around here can imitate or produce what we were able to do.
Can you comment on your mental health services that you have?
You know, we are just now talking about this. And you know, if you're listening to the news and reading newspapers and periodicals, there's a mental health issue nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to address that.
It is.
It is, yeah.
I mean, from young people.
Absolutely.
To middle-aged, to seniors, there's a lot of it. It was kind of ignored for years and years and years, hasn't it been? But now,
absolutely.
In the last
yes.
years, people are noticing.
So
tell us about
it. Our first step is we're going to look at how to provide a service for our senior adults.
Okay.
Those are 65 and older. And we're using a company called Psychiatric Medical Care. You will hear it at Boyd called Senior Life Solutions. It'll be Boyd Senior Life Solutions. We just signed the contract and had our kickoff meeting. This service will work with primarily people that are depressed, anxious. Maybe they've, you know, through depression, sometimes people think of suicide.
Right.
And this
Handling
program.
Loneliness.
At loneliness.
Seniors.
Yes. We know, now, Illinois could be a little different than Oklahoma or Texas, but what we've seen in my life in the rural communities is children grow up and they move off to the big cities, and mom and dad are kind of left by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually one spouse dies and the other one survives. And that, can you imagine the loneliness that can happen when your family's gone?
Yeah.
So this is like a combination of mental health and Senior Citizen Center put together. It is a place to come to unite with other people, talk, work with a psychiatrist and some mental health nurses. I'm very, very enthused and excited
yeah.
about this. We
I like
are
it.
In the process now of hiring the staff, identifying where they're going to office in the hospital. And the plan is we'll accept and take our first patient in November.
Fantastic. That'll be great. I mean, I have people in mind that start popping in my mind.
Absolutely.
About people I know that this would be great for.
Absolutely. Share that, because you do not have to have a physician's order for this. You can just call and we'll do an evaluation to make sure you meet the criteria. Make sure your insurance will pay for it.
Do you have to be from the Carrollton area? You can be in the Tri-County or beyond?
You sure can.
Okay.
And what transportation could be an issue. This is where I've heard some things I don't really know, but I think Greene County or Carrollton offers a transportation. They have a transportation
yeah,
service.
Yeah, they have one.
So I hope to...
Throughout the whole three counties, we've got something
awesome.
Going on. Yeah.
I hope to work with them, that service, and to help those in need.
How about physician clinics?
Oh, boy.
Tell us about physician clinics that are going on.
Man, we are blessed. Yeah. We have four clinics throughout Greene County. And, you know, there's two in Carrollton. One's in the hospital. And that one's going to transition pretty soon to the wellness center that was created. If you've driven through...
Oh, yeah, I've seen
If you've driven through Carrollton, you might have seen the wellness center.
The old IGA, they transferred that into a wellness center. Yep.
So that there will be one there. That's going to continue to be a walk-in clinic, and it will be staffed by nurse practitioners. Then across the street from the hospital is Dr. McNair. And I think everybody in the area is probably familiar with Dr. McNair. Mm-hmm. He brings such a great value to our hospital. And he's got a clinic across the street. There's one in Root House, and there's one in Greenfield. The surprising thing is nationwide, we hear about how hard it is to get in to see physicians, that there's a access to care is difficult. We have capacity. I mean, if
not
you need
true
to get,
in your neck of the woods.
Not true. There's openings on the schedule every day. And so anybody that's looking for a provider, a primary care physician.
And they don't have to be from Greene County.
No, they don't.
Okay.
No, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, now, the great part is all your services are at one central location.
Yeah. Within a few blocks.
Yeah. I'm really excited because other places that I've gone, the clinics are completely full, and we're trying to recruit doctors so that we can better serve the community. Here we've got, I think we have 9 providers on staff.
Wow.
So we have the opportunity to take care of those that need it.
Well, Stace Holland, CEO of Boyd Health Center, we're out of time.
Yeah.
So any last words of wisdom that you want to share with our listeners?
We have great coffee at the hospital.
You do.
If you want to come hear more about Boyd or just talk to me, I can be very wordy. So you got to block out a period of time, but please come and grab a cup of coffee and we'll sit in my office and we'll talk about anything you want to talk about. But we probably ought to share that I didn't start rodeo until I was 52, so I'm really not any good at it, but it is in my blood, and so that bull riding consisted of one tamed bull that lasted about 2 seconds.
But it's still bull riding.
Absolutely. That's off my bucket list.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Well, it's more than I did. I've never rode a bull yet.
Well, come on down, and we'll get you on one.
All right. Well, thanks for coming in, Stace. You take care. We'll see you around.
I appreciate it. It was my pleasure.